Excited to be here this morning. It's going to be a good time. And if people are wondering what's going on, we're going to do a skit this morning that's going to lead into what I'd like to share about the truth of the gospel. One thing I want to just read real quick is in our Sunday school lesson this morning, 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness." And the thing that stands out to me is that here several weeks ago I brought a message about absolute truth. And if it's true for one person, it's true for everybody. If it's absolute truth, it's true for everybody. No matter what you feel or believe or think or anything, if it's truth, it's truth, regardless of who you are. And that's the concept of this here this morning. And one of the things that stood out to me when I saw this skit the first time was many years ago, Karen and I were at a campground in western Pennsylvania somewhere. And there was a group there that talked. This was about 15 years ago. And one of the things that they brought very clear is that the world is so turning toward a feel-good religion because we do not want to talk about they call Christianity a bloody, gory, and a fiery religion. They don't want to talk about that stuff anymore. They don't even want to believe in it. They want to act like it doesn't even exist. So as we go through this skit this morning, and then I'll be sharing a message afterwards, I just pray that God will be able to speak to each one of our hearts and recognize the truth of the gospel.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the third morning service here at First Seeker Church of Due West. We are glad that you have chose to fellowship and worship with us this morning, and we hope you'll enjoy your time here. We want you to know that you don't have to feel like you need to participate. If you want to, it's great, but if you don't feel like you want to, don't worry about it, because we're all about making you feel welcome. We don't want to be threatening in any way. And without further ado, I think I'll introduce you to the morning speaker, Pastor Luke Warm.
Hey there. Thank you, Tim.
Yes, sir.
And good morning to everyone. On the behalf of the congregation here, welcome to the First Seeker Church of Due West. We're going to sing, we're going to share the word, we're going to have fun, but please, seriously, don't feel like you have to do anything that makes you uncomfortable, okay? Let's get started with a little non-threatening music. Huh, Tim?
Absolutely. How about if you're happy?
Thank you, Tim. Folks, please help yourself to more coffee and Danish over here on the side. If you're looking for a little something different, I recommend the Vanilla Hazelnut Supreme. Yeah, that's good stuff there, folks. But hey, we're not here just here for coffee and music. No, sir, no, ma'am. We're here to celebrate a man. A man who is more than just a man, because he was also God, you see. A man without whom none of this would be possible. I think you know who I'm talking about. So rather than hit you over the head with it, I'll just say, when you're ready to meet this guy, we're ready to introduce you to him. You don't have to feel pressured, though. Please do not feel pressured. But if you're interested in meeting him, and you know who I mean, you can make your way to the back of the sanctuary. It's called the Discovery Room back there. We got trained volunteers back there that will introduce you to him in a gentle and non-threatening way. No one will have to know except you and the trained volunteer. In fact, to help keep things secret, this morning we have the distraction ministry in place back there. They're wearing the orange name badges back there. Just if you want to be introduced to this man, but you don't want your family to know, just talk to one of them. They'll distract your family, and they'll get you back there and introduce you to this man. But special bonus. Everyone who visits the Discovery Room today receives a New Testament Bible and a free mug.
Oh, and that's a handsome mug. Nice mug.
Oh, yeah, it is a nice mug, that's for sure. And you can get it with or without the First Seeker Church logo. That's right. We're not here to push you. We just want to love you and make you feel welcome. Well, that wraps up our service for this morning, folks. Yep, it was short, I know, but we like to keep it that way because we don't want to push anything on anybody. Except maybe another cup of coffee, of course. God bless you, folks. But only if you want it, of course.
Excuse me, Pastor Luke?
Yes, ma'am.
That was a wonderful service.
Well, thank you so much. And what's your name?
Jessica,
dear, thank you for your compliments and for coming out to the First Seeker Church of Due West.
I also want to say I truly appreciate you giving an invitation.
Oh, man, we don't give invitations here. We don't want to make anyone nervous about making a decision before God.
But what about the Discovery Room?
Oh, that wasn't an invitation. That was just an opportunity. You know, there's a difference.
My bad.
Are you thinking of responding to that opportunity?
Actually, yes. I've been coming here for some time now.
Have you had the coffee? It's good, huh?
Yeah, but I'm interested in other things.
Oh, like hot tea, yeah.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, we've been testing the water to see if there's enough interest in hot tea to brew some on Sundays.
Well, I do love tea, but that's not what I'm interested in. I want to know more about becoming a, what are y'all called again?
Independent, biblically based, seeker-sensitive Protestant?
No, something shorter.
Sorry, I was just kind of overheard. Did you mean Christian?
Yeah, that was it.
Christian, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you want to know more about becoming a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, simply wonderful.
And why is that?
Oh, well, first of all, you gain a new best friend in Jesus. It's just great.
Oh, Jesus, huh? I hear he's rather peculiar about who he befriends.
Oh, no. Jesus, he'll be friends with just about anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
No strings attached?
None at all.
Well, of course, except you have to forsake your mother and your father and your husband and your kids and your job. And did I miss anything? I mean, that's not that big of a deal, though.
What was that?
That was nothing at all. Don't pay attention.
No, I didn't say anything.
Uh-huh.
Some folks just give up their life for him, too.
Excuse me, what does he mean by giving up my life?
Well, yes, when you become a Christian, you do surrender certain facets of your life.
Such as?
Well, there's lust, there's greed, there's personal gains. There's jealousies, there's grudges, hatred, prejudices, anything that has to do with sin, really.
Well, he's such a kidder.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he right, or is this all a big joke?
Let me just summarize by stating things this way. When you become a Christian, your life will never be the same.
Really?
Yeah, just ask the disciples.
Their lives changed, too?
Sure, they changed. They went from the peaceful daily grind of fishing and tax collecting, and suddenly were thrust into homelessness, hunger, beatings, floggings, stonings, piercings, boilings, flailings, and ended in execution pretty often.
Wait, executions?
Yeah, all the disciples were executed except the Apostle John. But he, however, was imprisoned, boiled in oil, and then sent to live in exile the rest of his days.
Wow.
Yeah. There was Mark as well, the author of the Gospel of Mark. He was killed. So was Luke, Timothy, and the Apostle Paul.
Is this true?
It's true. The early disciples did all die for their faith. Many gruesome and violent ways. I'm really sorry. I hate to have to tell you that. I'm sorry.
Why are you apologizing to her for telling her the truth?
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to help the Seeker find some answers here.
Help? My goodness, man. I'm stunned to see she's still here. You keep up all this death and dying and sacrificing talk, she's going to be out of here in no time.
Yeah, but isn't it better to tell her the whole truth up front rather than have her drown in your watered-down gospel?
Hey, we have to water things down a little bit. It's a way of slowly introducing somebody to Christ. Can't get too crazy right away.
But what about the verse that says, if you profess me before men, I will profess you before my Father in heaven, but if you deny me before men...
I know the verse. Look, she'll find out about the sacrifices in due time. She's not ready to know these things yet.
But do you know that for sure?
That's not what we do here. We try to ease people into Christianity in a non-confrontational, non-threatening way. That's the way you win souls, my friend.
But someone in the early church must have missed that point because the Christians were won over by the Christian being thrown to lions, nailed to crosses. You're not introducing somebody to Mr. Rogers here. You're calling sinners to repent, leave their selfish ways behind them, and follow a man who sacrificed his life for the whole world. If they accept Christ, many of them will face persecution, prejudice, and even death.
But that's all ancient history, dude. Like, we don't have martyrs like that in today's world.
No,
get real.
But we even have bolder martyrs, just like the ancient Rome. Many countries in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, they've made Christianity completely illegal.
Yeah, but here in America is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
get with it.
Christians are facing increasing persecution. Students are losing their right to pray. Christians are thought of as a hate group because of their views of sexual and moral lifestyles. How much longer will we even be able to witness and preach here in America?
Enough! That's not the way we do things around here. Look, kid, you can't just blurt out, take up your cross and follow me.
That's what Jesus did.
We live in a different age. What kind of person is going to respond to that?
A person with wisdom to see that this world is doomed for destruction, maybe? And that laying down your life in this world leads to a much greater reward in heaven?
Look, frankly, I appreciate the input, but you're ruining my chances of leading this woman to Christ. So,
okay.
Grab another cup of coffee and let the real ministers get back to work, all right?
Okay, whatever.
Excuse me.
Now, miss?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
That was really amazing what you said about all those people dying for their faith in man. What a sacrifice.
Not even to the people that know him, really. They considered it an honor and blessing to be hated and executed for the cause of Christ. Christ himself was killed in the same way.
But what led them to give up so much?
Because they could see beyond this life and the inheritance in the next. Eternal life in heaven.
Eternal life?
And, not just that, but life more abundantly here on earth.
Yeah.
Do you think you could tell me more about this? Maybe over a cup of coffee?
I'd be delighted. We already have counselors in
Absolutely.
The...
Absolutely. Come on down.
That poor lost girl. I just hope that young man doesn't lead her too far astray.
Don't worry about her, Luke.
Hey,
for some reason, I think she's
going to...
Yeah. I think she'll be all right, you know.
I sure hope you're right. He's hitting her with stories of martyrs, taking up your cross. Whew. Yeah, that stuff sure strong.
It's not watered down, is it?
Yeah, wow. No, my eyes are watering. Wow, that stings.
Yeah, it stings a little at first, but it'll wake you up and you get to see things much more clearly.
I bet, yeah. Tim?
Yes?
You are talking about the coffee, right?
Along with that whole idea of a watered-down gospel, my passion is that we would understand the truth and nothing but the truth and understand that the gospel stands for all people at all times. And if it's absolute truth, it's true for everybody at all times, everywhere, any place. Just either it's truth or it's not. And the whole idea of watering down the gospel has been something that has been on my heart for a long time. As we slowly ease toward wanting to make people feel good. And in the idea of feeling good, there's nothing wrong with feeling good. But if it's not from the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's from there's only two kingdoms, by the way. It's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. What is making us feel good today? Which kingdom is really making us feel good today? As you evaluate your life, is it the kingdom of God or is it the kingdom of this world? Which one are we? When Jesus said that in Mark 8, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Listen, when he said this, he did not water it down. He said it straight for what it was. There was no watering it down. It said that he must be killed, and then 3 days later he's going to rise again. That is absolute truth. He didn't try and say, well, it's just going to be kind of... He told it the way it was. And in verse 32 of Mark 8, he says, he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, I want you to think about Peter taking Jesus aside and trying to rebuke him for saying something that was absolutely true. Listen, Peter wanted so bad that to water this down. Oh, it's no way it has to be like this. He just couldn't, in his human mind, Peter could not fathom that Jesus was going to die on a cross and rise again 3 days later. He wanted to water it down. In our humanness, we do want to water it down. We don't like to suffer. And we don't suffer well because we're glory robbers. We want the glory on us instead of on God. That's why we don't suffer well. Because we are glory robbers. We want that glory all about ourselves. Verse 33, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Now, what do you have in mind when you want people to like you? When you want to share the gospel? What do you have in mind when you are more concerned about people liking you rather than loving a God that created all things? Think about it. How hard is it to walk up to somebody that you don't even know? You meet them out on the street and you just tell them, God loves you. Or, Jesus died for me. Or, just tell them your testimony. How hard is it? Or do we want that person to, first of all, like me? Is it about me or is it about God? Think about it. Verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. So if we are more concerned about people liking me rather than God, we have not denied ourselves and take up his cross and follow me. And this is completely your choice. It's not, God is not going to make you do this. It is completely your choice. Now, John 21, and I've used this verse before. John 21, verse 18 to 22 says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus was talking to Peter. He was telling him what's going to happen. And Jesus said this in verse 19, says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter, in verse 20, turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And this was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said, Lord, what about him? Now, Jesus, I want you to understand this. Jesus just told him, you are going to die a serious death on a cross. And if I got it right, Peter was crucified upside down. I think I'm correct with that. I'm not sure. Anyway, it was a gruesome, gruesome death for his belief in Jesus. And when he was told that he was going to do that there, immediately he went to himself and he said, but what about him? This is not fair. This is not fair. And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? What is that to you? You must follow me, period. You must follow me. Don't look around. Don't look around you worrying about what God's got for someone else. Are you willing to follow? Going back to that Mark chapter 8 that they were talking about here in the skit, verse 35 says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. And I got a question here. Are you afraid to tell someone about Jesus that redeemed you? And if you are, why? Why would you be afraid? I want you to think about this in yourself. Why would you be afraid? Is it too hard to explain? That Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again? Is that too hard? I'm just asking. Think about in your life, how many people have you told your testimony to in this lifetime? Whether you're 10, 20, 40, 100, however old you are. Listen, how many people have you told? When Jesus was on this earth, and I read, this is my words. When he rose and went into heaven, I like the picture that the angels gathered all around him and looked at his nail-scarred hands and said, Lord, why did you do this? Who's going to pass this on? Who's going to keep telling people if you're not here? And Jesus said, I've left it all to Peter, James, John, Paul. I left it all to them. And the angels, I like to think of it that the angels looked at Jesus and said, but what if they forget? What if they don't do it? What is your plan B? And Jesus said, there is no plan B. It is plan A and only plan A. How many people have you told? Or are we more concerned about befriending people and allowing them to like me? And I'm not saying that's wrong, listen, about wanting friends. But I'm just wondering, when you befriend someone and you become their good friend without telling them who your Jesus is and where you stand, it is harder down the road to convince them of anything. It really is. You need to tell them up front. Is it hard to tell them because you're not a good teller? Is it hard to tell them because you're not a good speaker? Or is it because you don't know what you really believe? Or do you not know what your main purpose on this earth is? That's my question. Verse 36 says this in Mark chapter 8. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? What good is it? And we often look at that at wealth, but I want to say this as friends this morning. What good is it to have all the friends in the world and forfeit your own soul? Some people live their life wanting everybody to like them. And by the way, that is an eros love. It is a love that is all about self. And God talks so much about an agape love. Is it all about God? Is it all about me? Verse 37 says, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. That's some serious, serious words. Now, a survey was given to those attending a training session for a Billy Graham concert. And I want you to catch this. This survey, one question. It said, what is your greatest hindrance to witnessing? What is your greatest hindrance? 9% said they were too busy to remember to witness. Too busy to remember to witness. 28% felt the lack of real information to share. They didn't really know the real information, how to share it or whatever. They just felt they didn't understand all that. So 28% answered that. None of them said they didn't really care. But 12% said their own lives were not speaking as they should. Their life was not speaking as it should. But by far the largest group were the 51% whose biggest problem was the fear of how the other person might react. The fear of how the other person might react. Now, I want to invite you to turn to Romans 10. That's the main passage I'd like to look at this morning. Romans chapter 10. Okay, starting in verse 13. I want you to catch this. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you know what? There is many times we hear this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then we refute it with that Jesus says on that day, Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and this and this, and have we not done this in your name? Have they not called on the name of the Lord? And Jesus said, I will have to tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Why? Why is that? Why is that? It says so clearly, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14 has the answer. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them or telling them? How can they hear? You know, I picture, I think I shared this with the youth one time, a video I had, but it showed an accident, and there was one boy in his car that was saved. We probably did it as a skit here. And when they got to the pearly gates, five of them walked up there and it said, condemned. And one of them walked up and said, saved. And all the five that had condemned looked at that boy and said, and you never told us. You never told us. We were friends on this earth, but on that day when we stand before an almighty God, what are they going to say when they look back and say, you never told me. You never told me. It was so simple. If you could just tell people what Jesus has done for you. It's not about how good of a person you are. It's not about how religious you think you are or whatever. It's what did he do? What did he do inside here when you accept him as your personal savior? It's so simple to share that. It really is. It really is. Because, you know, you can argue and refute all kinds of things, but what Jesus has done for you, no man can take away. You can't argue with that. It happened to you. Tell the story. Tell it. Three questions that need to be asked, and I'm going to try and go through these quickly. Question one, in verse 14, the question was this: how then can they call on the name, on the one they have not believed in? Listen, the lost cannot call on Jesus. They cannot call on the name of the Lord to be saved until they believe. Okay, they can't do it. They can't call on Jesus' name until they believe. Can't happen. It will not happen. That Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. If they don't believe that, they cannot call on the name of the Lord. Absolutely cannot. It's impossible. You can know who Jesus was, you can know that he was the Son of God, but if you do not believe that right there, you cannot call on the name of the Lord, and you cannot call on Lord and Savior. It cannot happen. 1 Corinthians 15 says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Just to know that Jesus was the Son of God. Wow. No, I'm not making that a small matter. But listen, many will say, have I not done these things? And we know who he was, but we never believed. We never allowed him to be Lord of our life. We never allowed him to be Savior. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Absolute truth. Now, question two. How, and this is in verse 14 again, in Romans 10. The second question in verse 14 says, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And the answer is, the lost cannot believe in him until they hear the good news of salvation. They are not going to believe until they hear the good news of salvation. They must hear in order to believe. They are not going to believe by any other way except they hear. Okay? Now, you know, you can go through the Bible. The eunuch had to hear to believe because he was sitting there in a chariot reading and he didn't understand. I can't think of the man's name now. It just eludes me. But anyway, jumped up in the chariot and he asked if he knows what he's reading. He says, no. And he says, so he told him that the man could understand and hear. And it made sense. And he believed. Paul had to hear to believe. The Philippian jailer had to hear to believe. Everybody here has got to hear to believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, you have heard somewhere what Jesus has done for someone else. And what he did as a finished work. Anyway, so you had to hear to believe. So you know everyone around you has to hear to believe. Question three, how can they hear without someone preaching or witnessing to them? And the fact is, they cannot hear the good news of salvation without a witness. Listen, in the Bible, in Acts there, 3,000 were saved at Pentecost because 120 witnessed. The eunuch was saved because Philip witnessed. Paul was saved because of several different witnesses, and I want to talk about them in a minute. But people everywhere had to hear, had to have a witness in order to believe. And that is our primary job on this earth as a Christian. Primary job. There is no plan B. There is no, none at all. Okay. Now I want to turn to Acts chapter 7. Turn with me there. Acts chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 54. A lot of interesting things here about people that were willing to witness for Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. And Stephen had just been telling them all the things. If you read all the way from the beginning of Acts 7 there, he told them all these things that they were doing wrong. Everything that was going on in their lives and what God was going to do. And then it starts here in 54 and it says, and when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Verse 55 says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now I want you to think of that picture real quick. As you think of Jesus standing at the right hand of God, there is nowhere else in Scripture that Jesus, it says anything about Jesus that I'm aware of, standing at the right hand of the Father. Everywhere else, when he finished his work on this earth and he died, he rose to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's his proper place. He sat down at the right hand of the throne. Okay? Now, while Stephen is being persecuted, mocked, and laughed at, he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Verse 56. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, next time you are afraid or get scared to tell someone that you don't even know. And I don't know if Stephen knew these people or not. I didn't study it that far. Are you afraid to the point of dying? Are you afraid to tell someone about Jesus to the point of dying? Or isn't it that important? How important is it? If Jesus was willing to stand up at the right hand of the throne of the Father while Stephen was being stoned to death, what will he do for you? Will he not do the same thing? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of in telling our story? Now, I want to go to this here. Jesus. That was for Stephen. Now I want to go to the fact that Jesus in Acts 9, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light, this was how Jesus witnessed, okay, how he witnessed to Saul. And this is in Acts 9, 3-6. As he neared Damascus on his journey, this is Saul traveling to Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Even Saul had to have a verbal witness talking to him. The light knocked him down. Okay, that may have got his attention. But listen, something had to witness to him. And Jesus himself, or God himself, spoke to him. Okay? Everybody needs a witness. That is my main gist this morning. I want everyone to know that everyone needs a witness. Your best friend, if he is not saved, you will not meet him in glory unless you are witnessing to him. If he is not a Christian, I'm saying. Listen, everyone needs a witness. Are you willing to share that witness with those around you? Now I want to turn to another man that witness for the Lord, and he was so scared. And I want you to put yourself in this man's shoes, Ananias, in Acts 9, 10 to 19. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Then verse 13. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and the people and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now I want you to picture something. The best way I can picture what Ananias must have felt like was when Hitler would have been persecuting the Jews or killing the Jews. And one of them would have been called by God to go to Hitler and say, and pray for him. God would have already struck him down with a light. Now I understand that didn't happen. But what would have it been like, as you know the stories, for you to go to someone like that? And if that is unbelievable in our life to even think of doing something like that, how much easier is it then to go to the man right down the street? The man that you meet on the job. That had to be the hardest thing for Ananias to go to Saul when he knew all the stories, how he was persecuting and throwing people in prison for those that believed in Christ. Now, I want you to think about something. You were saved because someone witnessed to you. You literally were saved because someone witnessed to you. Okay? According to the Word of God, the lost cannot be saved without a witness. They must have a witness to hear, they must hear to believe, and they must believe to call on the name of the Lord. They must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And I want you to catch that. That's four things. They must have a witness to hear, they must hear to believe, they must believe to call on the name of the Lord, and they must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Now, backwards. But they cannot call till they believe. They cannot believe until they hear. And they cannot hear without a witness. And by the way, we are not born with a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Born with a saving faith. It only comes when we hear the gospel. Because of what we just talked about in them three things, it is of utmost importance if you are here this morning and you are a child of God, it is the utmost importance that you share that to someone in your many people in your lifetime. And my challenge is how many? How many? Now, I want to say this very clearly. Some people get discouraged when they think they've never led someone to Christ. Some people get discouraged when they never saw miraculous things happen. And some people get discouraged by these things. Listen, some people were meant to water. Some people were meant to plant. And some people were meant to harvest. What is your gift? What is it? And are you willing to allow God to use it? Are you willing to allow God to use it? In closing, I want to turn to Revelation 12. And this is the power behind everything I'm talking about this morning. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. We'll start at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then verse 10 says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They didn't. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, verse 12 says this, therefore, rejoice you heavens and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. This morning, our time is short too. It really is. A mist will only last for a little while and then it's gone. And our life is like a vapor. And it's gone. What did you spend your time doing? What was most important? What was most important of your time here on this earth? That's my challenge. What is it? This morning, I would like to call this church to an awakening of witnessing and sharing the truth. I really would. I long to see people unashamed of sharing the gospel as they are of going to work, as unashamed of sharing the truth as they are of just living, as unashamed of that as of anything else in this world. Maybe as unashamed of sharing the gospel as driving a new car should be greater to share the gospel. What is it that we're living for? And are we willing, in the short time we have left on this earth, to tell someone? Here's what I'm going to do. I would like to open up the altar this morning. And my call this morning is this. Would we be able to repent from not sharing the gospel? Would we be able to repent from not telling people who this Jesus is and what he really did for us and the truth, and not watering it down with our jobs, not watering it down with what we're doing, but tell the truth? Would we be able to repent of that and make a commitment to the Lord this morning to say that I'm going to tell someone this week who Jesus is and what he did for me? Would we be able to do that? I've asked Mikey if he would lead a song. And I'm just going to say the altar's open, and then I want to have a prayer for every one of those that would want to repent of not doing that. Even if you've done it, maybe we've fallen away from it, but I'm just saying to draw us closer and cry out and say, God, I want to be that servant. I want to be that real. I want to be that Stephen. I want to be that Ananias. I want to be that. That's what we're here for. And we lose our focus so quick. I lose my focus so quick. We all do. So my call this morning is, would you come this morning in a commitment to the Lord and say, I want to be that type of servant, as he plays this song. Do we really believe that this morning as you think of holy, 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 set apart for the gospel of God? Every one of us that is called to be a Christian, that has accepted Christ as our personal Savior, is called to be set apart. Not to be a part of this world, my friends. It is called to be set apart. Are we willing to witness for our kingdom? What kingdom are we living for? That's my challenge. I want to ask the rest of you all to stand. I'll close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the power of your gospel. And God, as we go forward from here, I just pray that everyone, that even in their hearts, they have made that commitment. They have said, Lord, I want to live for you all. And God, we know that you want our all. And Father, for those that did respond, I just pray a blessing on them. Father, my challenge this morning would be that every one of us would be connected to you in a way that as we go forward this week, we will tell someone, what you have done for us, or tell someone who you are. So Lord, we commit this entire service to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And my challenge is, yes, as you go forward, think about it, consciously think about it this week. Make a commitment to tell someone about Jesus. Tell just one person. If you do it this week, and then next week, and then next week. Gary did that thing one time here. Gary Troyer had done that thing about witnessing how that goes out and about. If we just, anyway, I don't even remember how I did it, but I just remember it was a powerful, it really struck a chord with me about how important it is that we share our faith. So as you go from here, be real and share your faith. God bless you.